Hello again, Paul, my friend. Come in, come in. Have a seat. How are you feeling this week? What is on your mind, my friend?
Ah, Dr. Herring Sniffer, I've been having trouble sleeping. I'm lying awake at night, just worrying, like, is there a god?
Oh. No?
Is there maybe lots of gods? Is there, like, are they forming, like, a pantheon of gods, and then there's another pantheon of gods, and then... What if there's some hot sorceress who's manipulating them all to fight? That's what I'm worrying about at the moment. Like, just creating some sort of, what do you call it, conflict of the gods?
So the gods are arguing, you know, in a fashion, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, I worry about that, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, possible god complex, hyper-religiosity. Sorry, I'm just updating your file here.
Can I see that?
Maybe later. Not now. Let's get into the session, shall we?
Okay. Welcome to DC OCD, the DC event show where we discuss every DC event in order and we give it a rating. And we can be fairly harsh sometimes. But yeah,
harsh we'll see but what fair, Paul. Harsh but fair.
That's what we do. Anyway, how are you, Mike?
I'm good, Paul. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well. And I'm lying because I've had a terrible day. But anyway, let's get into this. So yeah, we've moved out of the Armageddon 2001 to another event, which is sort of going on simultaneously. So, I mean, we order our events by when they start, whereas War of the Gods, Armageddon 2001, was still going all the way through War of the Gods, which is the one we're covering today, War of the Gods. So there's no annuals in this one, because Armageddon stole them all this year. yeah, but were there any other things that might have been events that aren't really events?
That would be Lonely Place of Dying, the story arc that introduced Tim Drake as the new Robin.
Yeah, crossover with the Titans and the Bat Book.
Yeah. So, fan. I know I'm a big fan of Tim Drake. I know he's got lots of other fans. So, yeah, that was when he was introduced. But, yeah, not really event-worthy in terms of the parameters of this show.
Not big enough.
No.
All right, so yeah, let's look at War of the Gods. Now, this came out in 1991, so we're still in the 90s, early 90s, same year as Armageddon. You're going to find a lot of mentions of Armageddon treading all over this one.
Unfortunately.
yeah, it was a four 48-page issue event, but it had tie-ins. So I think there's about 20 tie-ins.
21.
21?
Yes. Well, it, all up, War of the Gods had 25 chapters. So,
wow.
Yeah.
And, yeah, these were just in regular issues. So, it's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, anyway, the creative crew behind this one. So, we have the principal writer. In fact, the writer of the four issues was George Perez. And he also wrote the Wonder Woman chapters of the, the crossover.
Yep.
Because there were three Wonder Woman chapters, I believe.
Four.
Yes. Four. Thank you, Mike. Making me look bad.
I'm here to help.
Okay, good. Excellent. Penciled by George Perez. Well, I mean, I think Jill Thompson did some work over his ink, outlines. And when we get to the inking, frankly, there was an army.
There was a shit ton.
Too many to name. Mm. So we won't. But most of the colours were by Gene D'Angelo. Letters were by Albert de Guzman and Richard Starkings. And edited by Karen Berger.
Mm.
Noted DC editor of note. So what do you think this one's about, Mike?
I reckon it's about some gods having a bit of a biff. Having a bit of a punch on. Yeah.
Should have called it God Biff.
God. Ah, now that's catchy and classy. But yeah, the basic premise is, well, it does, the lead in for it is from Wonder Woman Volume 2. It kind of kicked off, the background to it kicked off with issue 50, where the Amazons sort of announced themselves and presented themselves to the rest of the world. And over the course of the next 7 issues, it had been revealed that the sorceress Circe... Are we pronouncing it Circe or Circe?
I say Circe.
Okay, let's go with that.
Yeah, so, no, Circe. And you know I'm always right, so... Like.
Well, Circe, according to Paul, she'd been plotting against Diana all along in the background, and she was responsible for some murders that had occurred at the scenes of artifact thefts, which we later learned during War of the Gods that Circe was using those artifacts to manipulate all the other pantheons. Oh no! So the Amazons had been framed for these crimes, and with public opinion against them, the US military decided to lead an attack on Themyscira, led by Steve Trevor.
Ah.
Yeah. So that was where it led to. And then in War of the Gods itself, we actually see the gods of these ancient pantheons, so the Romans, the Olympian gods, as they're referred to, but they're based on Greek myths, Egyptian, African, Norse, Babylonian, even Thanagarian.
Yeah.
All these gods had turned up on Earth to either destroy each other or recreate the world in their image due to Circe's manipulations, which was part of her plan to destroy the Earth goddess Gaia as an act of vengeance for her goddess Hecate.
Yeah.
Did you get all that?
Simple, very straightforward.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, basically bad guy wants to destroy the world, causes chaos, enter heroes.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yeah, this was an odd one. I didn't feel like, apart from the Wonder Woman chapters that tie in, the others are all a bit weird. Like there's a couple of series that had their final issues in the middle of it. So Captain Atom 57, so that last issue of Captain Atom, and he was in the African continent fighting African gods, and he sort of seemed that he became possessed, which is something that we mentioned in the Armageddon. And it sort of left him sort of dangling. And yeah, we all know how that wrapped up. Hawk and Dove, they had their final issue, which is also something that also got sort of contaminated by Armageddon 2001. So, but there was the Dr. Fate. This was Eric and Linda Strauss, the woman and man and boy who joined to become the single Dr. Fate. There was some the Demon had his series going at this point. Lobo was really big at this stage, so Lobo features in the Legion with the Dots 91 chapter.
Yeah,
and he's also in the one of the Wonder Woman chapters.
Yeah, a whole issue of Lobo beating women up.
That's so classy. Popular. And there was pre-Vertigo Animal Man involved in this as well.
Yes,
which is weird. And yeah, there's a bit of Hawk World. My favourite tie-in chapter, the Suicide Squad. They had a really good one in this. But yeah, it had some broad, you know, inclusions and, you know, some weird things. Like, if you know, everyone was dying to see Lobo fight Captain Marvel, this was the comic for you, the Legion 21. You know.
Yes, that's been on a lot of fan lists for some time.
But I did notice there was a lot of, like, scene repetition in the main book. So something would happen in one of the side books and you'd actually literally see the scene redone in the main book. Or right. Maybe it was redone in the side book. Who knows? George Perez probably knows. Maybe Karen Berger. I don't know. So have you got anything for big deals from this? Big deals.
There were a couple of interesting scenes. Like, there's a big fight between Captain Marvel and Wonder Woman when Marvel is under the influence of the Roman gods and Cersei. That was a bit big. There's a couple of interesting team-ups in the different fights, like Hawkman, Hawkwoman, and Dr. Fate fighting Egyptian gods, Firehawk, and I guess he's like, I missed this part of Firestorm's history, but the elemental Firestorm.
Oh, yes, yes.
With the alien beings and something. Them fighting Orishas in Africa. Ice, Fire, and the JSA taking on Thor, Loki, Baldur the Brave, and Surtur, which are names we don't normally see in DC comics, but yeah, they were fighting the Norse mythology there. Mixed feelings about Pariah being back.
Yeah. It's not a big event till Pariah shows up and cries.
No, you don't know that things are really about to hit the fan until Pariah turns up and starts bawling his eyes out. Oh, my God. Such a... Yeah, he's an interesting character. The other question I have is, and because I haven't read the Suicide Squad tie-in, I've only read the Wonder Woman War of the Gods collected trade. So yep, it just yep, has the Wonder Woman tie-in issues. So I'm still scratching my head over the kind of weird grouping of Black Adam and the Suicide Squad. Was that expanded upon in their tie-in?
Well, basically, if I remember this correctly, or just make it up so it sounds interesting, Black Adam, I think, was he was sidelined in the... maybe the Power of Shazam comic? No, I think that was a bit later. Anyway, he basically vanished at one point, and he returns through because of the War of the Gods happening, and you know, things get messed up. And he basically, he's got a mad on to go and get Cersei and take her out, and he knows where her base is. And he basically shows up to the Suicide Squad and says, I'm going to lead you all on a mission, and I will crush your skulls if you don't.
Right.
And Amanda Waller's like, okay.
Right. Okay.
And then he says, gather up all the warm bodies that you can find. And then they basically, you know, you get the core Suicide Squad people, and then they just chuck in a few randos that they find.
Yeah. Because I think at least one of them got killed off.
Yeah. Javelin, I think.
That was it. Javelin. Yeah.
Yeah. And Poison Ivy is caught up in this, so it's nice to see her in that. But one of the, probably the best thing about the Suicide Squad issue is there's a character called the Writer, and if you know your DC stuff fairly well, there's Grant Morrison wrote himself into the Animal Man book in the early run.
Yes,
but basically he became a character, and John Ostrander, being a fairly fun guy, decided to use Grant Morrison in the Suicide Squad, and he has him explaining that once I wrote myself into the story, other people could write me now, and I became a victim of the story myself. So he is basically a very pale man, looks slightly like Grant Morrison, and he has a sort of computer laptop sort of slung over his shoulders, and he types the story as he runs around.
Wow.
Yeah, and he actually gets taken out when he gets writer's block. So,
okay.
Yeah, he was saying, you know, the Amazon attacking me gets hit by an arrow, and, you know, this one explodes, and then he says, oh, what do I do now? And then he gets taken out by one of the beast men on the island. Right. So,
okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's probably my favorite part. I mean, the whole Suicide Squad chapter is very good, and it, you know, but Suicide Squad was always good.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a lot of the books had to do a few backflips to sort of get roped in, like the Starman title and Superman and even the Flash. You know, it sort of set up this race with it's the guy, the Roman guy.
I believe it's Mercury. Hermes and Mercury,
so, yeah. But, you know, that falls flat, really. It doesn't really live up to the premise.
I guess the biggest deal for me is that I don't know whether it's because I only read this for the first time a few months ago, or whether it's just not particularly well written, but for all this stuff with gods and different pantheons and all these human heroes being involved, it's a little bit boring. Which yeah. is awful to say because I'm a bit of a Wonder Woman fan and this is kind of not great.
Yeah, I it's probably a case of I had very high expectations for this. Like you see the cover for War of the Gods number one, it looks awesome. It looks in a Crisis on Infinite Earths level awesome.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if George Perez if he was not happy that this was turned into a big crossover, but the execution of the crossover isn't particularly good. So,
yeah. You know. Well, see, in my research, I found that he kind of did want it to be a big deal, and I think there was more behind-the-scenes drama, partly to do with Armageddon 2001, in that the last-minute changes to that affected what books and characters could be used in War of the Gods. And I believe George wanted this to sort of really hype up Diana because it was her 50th anniversary
when
this came out. So I remember vaguely back in the day that, you know, this wasn't a really heavily promoted event from what I recall from my back in my comic shop visiting youth. Whereas I can still recall, you know, posters and hype for things like Invasion and Armageddon 2001. Whereas this kind of was just like, I think back in the day, I almost just thought it was like a story just within Wonder Woman's book, not an actual big event. So I think George was a bit annoyed with the powers of editorial at the time in not doing enough to promote it or hype it up. And Armageddon 2001 impacting it as well, because issue 62 of Wonder Woman Volume 2 is his final issue. He left the book, and it's kind of, you know, a bit of a wrap-up and conclusion to what happened in the War of the Gods, and he kind of writes this farewell letter to Diana in the comic as well. So, yeah, I think, yeah, it's just...
Maybe there just wasn't enough oxygen in the room for two events in 1 year. And
I think,
you know,
that was probably it. Yeah.
All right. So I guess we got it. What came out of this? Not a lot. I mean, I can't think of any series that launched from this one, which is, you know, DC events being launches is quite a usual thing. And this one, there's no launching. I mean... It's got a bit of Occupier. It's probably falls into the Creative Vanity project a bit, but...
I think it's definitely 50-50 on those because Perez was writing 1D at the time, and I think this was his big hope to, you know, contribute something to her 50th anniversary at the time.
Right. But, so, and I don't see any sort of fixing going on in this series. Or tie-ins. I mean, it's a little bit like, I don't know, some of the books were involved, but it was almost an afterthought rather than something organic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, some of the chapters are better than others, and probably the Wonder Woman ones are the most compelling and, you know, cohesive in that sense.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Even some of those.
Yeah. So, if you want to know more about War of the Gods, I think this is it, because I don't remember anyone ever talking about it much before or since.
Not a great deal. Yeah. I think, yeah, it's probably one for if you're a Wonder Woman completist, you'll probably want to check this one out. Otherwise, tread carefully, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, so shall we get into the scoring side of this ceremony?
Reluctantly, yes.
So, eventiness. Well, I'm going to give it a six for event. I think what it does have is a pretty good scope. And rather than just using the characters who had their own books at the time, it actually brings in characters who didn't have books at the time. So, Cave Carson. This is one of the few outings for Cave Carson in the 90s. The son of Vulcan, you know, the fan favorite character that everyone loves. He's, I like to call him Random Roman. He's in it.
Yep. He sure is.
the metal men get a Guernsey. And then you've got some of the characters who are showing up in the existing stories, like Captain Marvel. Darkseid rocks up. Aquaman. I don't think Aquaman had his own book, but he's in there. Zatanna, the Phantom Stranger. So, and then there's all the characters who, like Lobo. There's Lobo everywhere. There's Suicide Squad. There's the Demon. There's the Titans. Mm. You know, so Hawk and Dove, Dr. Fate, Captain Atom, Starman. Starman with the, you know, the black and red suit at this point.
Yep.
So, and Hawkworld. So Hawkman and Hawkwoman and... Yeah, so I thought it had a pretty good scope and brought in, you know, a fair lot. Of, you know, people were used and used fairly logically in the event itself, and you know, it sort of it dug deep into the DC archives to pick some characters to show off. So, six. What about you, Mike?
Here we go. I'm going to give it 4 for eventiness. In that, I do agree with you that it had a good mix of characters there, but it's just something that happened and didn't really have any lasting repercussions, as far as I can recall or see or note, in what I've read, both in the series itself and in research I've done. It just sort of happened, and it didn't particularly happen very well. I'm sorry. So I yeah, 4. Yeah.
Okay. And where are you at on the writing? So I'm expecting a pretty high score.
It's a 4 again. 4?
Ooh.
As you were just saying, yes, it's got a good cast of characters, but I think that's the best and worst part of it, in that there are so many characters thrown at this, and it's great seeing a lot of them in there, but some of it just doesn't go anywhere, and it's really, unfortunately, a boring story. It just sort of happens. It's just like, hey, Black Adam, go and team up with the Suicide Squad, because if they don't, you'll kill them. And it's like, hey, Lobo, go beat up some women. yes, they're warrior women, sure, but, you know, it's Lobo doing it and being a creep about it all. It's like, spoiler alert, you know, for like a 17-year-old story. Diana died. Sorry, you know what I meant. I was testing you and your paths with flying colors. Well done. Diana dies in issue 3 of War of the Gods. But comic book science, she gets better and returns in issue 4. But there's like, it's everyone's just like, yep, okay, sure, we'll just keep fighting. There's like nothing to really, no one's going, holy shit, she's back. You know, it's, you know, let's rally the troops around, you know, this great hero who's come back. It's just like, it's a bit of a boring mess for me, so I'm going to give it 4. What about you, Paul?
I'm right with you. It's a 4. I mean, I bought the trade and reread it. I had the original issues. I still have the original issues. But it's a bit of a slog. Like, it's slow. It's, you know, it's dense and not in a way that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you kind of want to read a page with less writing on it after a while.
Yeah.
So, right with you on the writing. Okay. Yeah, for art, though, I can... I give it higher points for the art. I think the art's pretty good. I mean, it's probably due to the, you know, the Perez layouts and being so strong. But 6 for art. That's mine. What about you?
I am exactly the same as you. I'm also giving it a 6. The covers are the best part of the issues. The interior art is, I hate using this word, serviceable. For the most part, but even within a single issue, that quality can dip up and down. So if not for those great covers, it would just be a 5. But I think 6 is fair. I feel really bad about being harsh to this one, because it's Wonder Woman, you know? It's anyway.
So, Impact and Legacy, I've got to go low on that too. I mean, I'll say three to be generous three on Impact and Legacy, because nothing that it did was ever contradicted.
Yeah, they didn't have to fix, as we said, you know, it didn't fix anything and nothing needed to be fixed from it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it didn't, you know, and nothing came out of it that anyone wanted to change later or, you know, so no one's really, you know, gone back over this and revised it or anything, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there is a, I don't know, like, Javelin stayed dead, so that's something.
Those poor Javelin fans. Yeah, look. Once again, I'm the same as you. I'm giving this a 3 out of 10 for Impact and Legacy. For those exact same reasons. I don't think it's never caused that much of a commotion that has needed to be referred to again or corrected or fixed. And I think at the time when it first came out, it just wasn't hyped up enough. As you said before, there probably was not enough room for two events in the 1 year, and I think unfortunately this one suffered for it. But both within the story itself and here in the real world, getting promoted and attention.
Yeah, that's a pity because there was a nice pack, like the direct market editions had little posters in them.
So. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They were cool.
They were neat. Lots of Chris Sprouse art.
Yes. He was
fairly new to the comics. All right. Now, one of the things we don't do is we don't do our scores in a vacuum. We invite a person to join us in the scoring, and that person is known as semi-OCD because we're the principals of the show. We get full points. They get their points halved. And that's just – it's a maths trick that I do that adds up to a score out of 100. I won't tell you how it's done. Anyway – today, we've got Zoom Yukinori providing the semi-OCD scores for War of the Gods. So, without further ado, let's hear from Zoom.
Greetings, I am Zoom Yukinori, and welcome to my contributed segment to this episode of DCOCD, entitled Zoom is Semi-OCD, in which I provide my DCOCD scores and commentary for the 1991 DC Comics event, War of the Gods. Starting with eventiness, my score is 5. When I had first heard about War of the Gods back when it was originally called the Holy Wars, I was highly anticipating this event, mostly because I had been an avid reader of the Wonder Woman title and a huge fan of writer and artist George Perez. The early release of the brilliant George Perez artwork for the cover of issue 1 looked incredibly epic, with a veritable who's who of major DC characters girding themselves for battle. Further, the premise itself promised to be equally epic in scope, with several pantheons of gods that had appeared in Wonder Woman, Firestorm, and other DC titles, battling each other for the right to recreate the Earth in accordance with their respective mythologies. However, there was a lack of promotion for this series on DC's part in favor of another DC Comics event of that year, namely Armageddon 2001, which was actually still going on when the first issue of War of the Gods was released. There was also a great number of essentially forgettable tie-in stories, and with the exception of Wonder Woman, they, to me, appeared to be shoehorned into the regular series continuity at the last minute. And I would find out later in a comics interview article that this was indeed the case. These observations, along with the art and writing deficiencies, and I will touch on these a little later, seem to me, knock much of the wind out of the sails of this event, as it were. In regards to writing, my score is 6. The overall premise, which I stated earlier, was an ambitious idea, and the story offered many clever ways and reasons for having the various characters of the DC universe involved. I had also found certain plot points, such as the one that involved the Captain Marvel gods with the Metal Men, as well as the death and rebirth of Wonder Woman, to be particularly well done, at least in the writing. It was unfortunate that the lackluster artwork could not convey the intensity and scope those parts of the story required. My major quibble in the writing is that the story was essentially leaning largely on being an extension of the Wonder Woman series, so any non-Wonder Woman comic readers may have had difficulty jumping in. As an example, the Amulet of Harmonia had been featured in a number of Wonder Woman comic stories since issue 2 of the 1986 series. However, the use of it by Diana in War of the Gods issue 4 to defeat Circe would seem like a Deus Ex Machina that had come completely out of nowhere to anyone who had never read the Wonder Woman comic. There also tended to be a bit of overwriting throughout the main story in both the captions and the dialogue, which to me was usually one of the minor faults of Mr. Perez's writing, especially in projects when his artwork was already doing most of the telling by showing, so to speak. However, in War of the Gods, the overwriting actually helped describe some story aspects when the art could not fully do so, even though said writing would still be a bit of a slog to read. In regards to art and covers, my score is 7. The quality and epic scope of the covers bring my overall art score up, though I was disappointed to find that the, quote, special editions that were sold in the direct market stores would unnecessarily crop the edges of the covers in issues 2 through 4. While the interior art was all laid out by Mr. Perez, the artwork itself, which was by what was essentially a revolving door of pencilers and finishers, looked rather slipshod and rushed, which made it difficult at times to follow the storytelling as well as identify certain characters in scenes where they were not mentioned by name. And to be honest, even the layouts themselves started to lose some oomph starting with issue 3, which suggested to me that it was at this point of production when Mr. Perez started to lose heart in the project due to all those editorial issues he's been having with DC. Issue 4 seemed to me to have a feeling of, let's just finish up the story, and it was crammed with too many small panels that essentially constricted the amount of space for the more epic moments of the finale, which to me lessened their impact somewhat. And speaking of impact, for impact and legacy, my score is 5, and this is an average of my independent scores for impact and legacy. I would consider the impact of War of the Gods to be a 10, because this series, and all of the business indifference and editorial snafus that had undermined it, had led to George Perez leaving DC Comics for an extended period of time. I am forced to, well, wonder whether the New Titans graphic novel that Mr. Perez had been working on at the time, which was called Games, would have been completed when it was originally supposed to in the early 1990s, instead of being eventually finished in 2011, if only DC Comics had actually given Wonder Woman's 50th anniversary and this War of the Gods event the promotion and attention they deserved. And who knows what other DC Comics projects involving George Perez we had also missed out on as a result of this fiasco. That was the impact. And I consider the legacy score of War of the Gods to be 0, because this series was a large part of the end of George Perez's incredible run on Wonder Woman. I do not recall any lasting repercussions that were carried over by later writers. I even understand that the death of Circe was essentially undone by another writer just a few years later. I also recall that John Byrne had written a story about the Roman gods and the Greek gods during his run of Wonder Woman, which did not really acknowledge this event at all. Instead, that story was a retcon explanation of how both Pantheons used to be a single race of gods that split into two due to a ploy by Darkseid to weaken his godly rivals. I honestly do not recall if any of the crossover titles were really impacted by this event in their storylines going forward. I believe they may have just written off the War of the Gods as just another superhero adventure. So, to sum up, eventiness, 5, writing, 6, art and covers, 7, and my average score for impact and legacy, 5, for a subtotal of 23. My thanks to Paul and Mike for this opportunity to review. Cheers, gentlemen.
Well, thanks, Zoom. So, if we take Zoom's score, we add them all up, we get 23, and then we halve it, but we round up because we're generous like that, so we get 12. So I'm going to add up the scores now. So we've got 17 from you, Mike. You harsh man. 19 from me, and 12 from Zoom. And we add them together, and we get 48.
Wow.
8 out of 100.
Holy jeez, that is only 2 points better than Millennium.
Wow.
So the good news is that Millennium is still at the bottom of the table.
Hey.
Oh gosh, but I do feel bad, but it's about a Wonder Woman story not scoring that great. But it is what it is.
Anyway, let's hear a promo for Zoom stuff.
Let's.
Coming to media players everywhere in 2017 from the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Beginning with the origin of his comic book fandom and ending with the destruction of the universe, Professor Zoom Yukinori leads a monthly expedition through his favorite single-issue comic book stories from the Bronze Age of DC Comics. While promising unique celebrity guest perspectives in an ambitious attempt to set this program apart from other comic book review podcasts, thrill to the imagination, bask in the brilliance, experience the wonder of... The Done-in-One Wonders Podcast Wonder Show. Discover how compressed storytelling can broaden one's mind. Listen for it wherever Fire and Water Podcast Network podcasts are networking.
And now it's time for some feedback. We did get a little bit of feedback. We heard from Keith Colbeck, our Canadian listener, and he commented on the Invasion podcast. And he said, first time listener, long time fan. Does that mean he's a fan of us? I'm not sure. Tuned into the Invasion pod, and that was good fun. I have a soft spot for the 80s DC crossovers because they introduced me to so much of that universe when I was a teen. Thanks for the laughs about the ups and downs of Invasion. I agreed with most of your analysis, including the somehow oversized legacy of the metagene. I expect less agreement next pod, since Armageddon 2001 is my favorite event and much maligned by many others. Keep up the fun, hitting subscribe. Keith Colbeck. Thanks, Keith. And thank you, Keith. As you would have heard, our Armageddon 2001 scores. And I hope we weren't as harsh as you expected.
Well, someone was harsh.
It is the dumpster fire at the end that stays with me. Anyway, certainly we would like to hear some more feedback from anyone if they have comments on what we're saying, and we certainly are open to being disagreed with. It's bound to happen. Yes. Anyway, next time on the show, things are going to get dark around here. We're going to look at Eclipso, The Darkness Within. And if you're just following our shows in the feed, next week we'll have a Waiting for Doom, which will be on a Doom Patrol issue, I believe.
I believe a brand new, several months late issue.
What? A new one?
Yes.
No.
It's that one that leads to the crossover that's already finished.
Oh, dear. Comics. Gotta love them.
Will break your heart.
Yeah,
I mean, yes, you gotta love them.
Anyway, if you want to get in touch about this show or anything else that we're doing, you can contact us at DCOCDcast on Twitter, and you can send an email to DCOCDcast@gmail.com. And that's about it for this one. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Paul. It's fun as always. And apologies to the Wonder Woman fans tuning in.
And say thanks to the Doctor, who disappears at the start of every episode. I don't know where he goes.
Oh, I think he's just so stressed out by your new issues each week. I just see this little man running down the hallway, furiously scribbling notes, muttering something about you. But I will say hello to Dr. Herfen Sturfner for you.
Thanks.
No worries.
After music, bye. Unless you don't believe in waking up.